Hi, I'm Katie Massouris, a senior security strategist in the security development lifecycle team at Microsoft. I'm here at Blue Hat with Pelles Uli, a senior security researcher at Adobe, and also our own Jesse Collins, a software security engineer from here at Microsoft. Welcome, you guys. Thanks for joining us at Blue Hat.
Thank you.
So you are here to talk about rich internet application security from a flash and Silverlight perspective. Tell me more.
So we're looking at two different problems. One is that there are more cross-domain communication technologies, and as rich internet applications get richer, there's going to be this possibility for internet technology attacks. So it's important for vendors to come together and talk and share ideas so that we can be able to foresee when attackers might be able to do or perform cross-technology attacks. And then we're also looking at it from the site developer's perspective of they may be overseeing a site which deploys many technologies. And as the person who oversees that site, you may not be a security expert in each individual technologies. But you want to be able to know what questions to ask regardless of the technology. What is the common risks that you have to look at, and what are the things you need to look out for that will apply to any of those attacks. So part of our presentation goes through creating a framework for understanding the things that are common across all plugins that you need to be able to watch out for. So if you're a site administrator, you know the right questions to ask when reviewing your content.
Great. So Jesse, tell me a little bit about how the Silverlight team and the Adobe Flash team have been working together to address this common foe.
Well, we haven't done it too much directly yet. I think this is kind of some of the first communications we've opened, actually, which is kind of cool that we're able to do it here at Blue Hat and
historic.
Kind of share what we're working on. Yeah, it's very historic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, up until now, we're kind of, I think each of our teams have been figuring out how to do things just kind of based on what's already out there in the wild. I think the funny thing about web security is that no one really ever sat down and designed it. It just kind of happened over time, just as a response to a lot of different forces. So there's a few common concepts we cling to, like the same origin policy, for example, that, you know, if we all kind of obey the same basic rules, it might actually be possible to use all these different plugins in a way that makes sense. And I think the basic idea here is that the more, like, the crazier the web gets, and it seems to get crazier every day, the more important it is to focus on the things that are common to all these new technologies.
So Pelles, tell me about some of the common threats that you guys are addressing now.
So there are several of them. One is that all plugins are client-side technologies, which mean that they're in the hands of the attackers and they can all be decompiled. So there are no secrets when you're dealing with client-side technologies. We all have some form of cross-domain communication, and it's important to understand where those mappings are between different technologies, because attackers can chain those things together. We all load content from different areas, so are you safely loading content? As well as sort of general best practices to ensure that you're interacting with a hosting web page. We all interact with a hosting web page, and how do we ensure that when we're interacting with a hosting web page that we're doing so correctly?
So it seems like there are a couple of different layers to the security of these plugins, right? So there's a layer at the platform level. So as platform providers or providers of the plugins themselves, we have some responsibility to implement, you know, as best we can, a way for developers to take advantage of the security controls we have, right? And then there's also an education component to the developers to actually correctly implement some of the security features that we put in place. So tell me a little bit about what we're doing to educate developers in how to use these security controls correctly.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of what our talk's about. A lot of what we talk about is, like Pelles mentioned, a lot of the cross-domain policy file stuff, and also just some advice on how to put lots of different plugins on your page that you don't necessarily trust, and how to make sure that they can't talk to each other, or how do you let them talk to each other in a safe way. We also touch a little bit on what's okay to allow users to upload to your own domain. Right? If I allow a user to upload a Flash or a Silverlight application and put it on my domain, what am I signing myself up for exactly? And we think kind of by default these things are pretty secure, but there are a few little gotchas to keep in mind, and that's what we're trying to focus on here.
So just one last little bit from each of you. Where can developers go to learn how to implement some of these controls correctly?
So from the Flash Player perspective, if they go to the Adobe Developer Center and they go to the Flash Player section of that, we actually have a subsection of the Flash Player Developer section which is dedicated to security. And up there we will post everything from an article I wrote on creating more secure Swift applications to updates on the plugin and things that we change about the model that they need to be aware of.
Great. And lastly, Jesse, why don't you tell me where Silverlight developers can go to learn more about security?
Yeah, we have a variety of articles up on MSDN. You can go search for Silverlight and security and find stuff on there. We also have a kind of a security guidance document that's on the MS downloads as well that you can go find.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.